I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout. Today is Saturday, April 20th. Can a former U.S. president face criminal prosecution for things they did while in office? That's the question the U.S. Supreme Court will take up next week. The case centers on former President Donald Trump and whether he can be tried on federal charges, alleging he conspired to overturn the results of the 2020 election. The outcome of this case could have major ramifications for Trump and future presidents. Later, you'll hear from the CEO of the National Constitution Center about what the Constitution does and doesn't actually say about this, and why he thinks the justices might actually try to find a compromise or middle ground. But first, we're breaking down both sides' arguments with Supreme Court reporter Amy Howe. She co-founded the SCOTUS blog, as well as another blog she started called Howe on the Court. She's previously served as counsel in more than 24 cases at the Supreme Court and has taught Supreme Court litigation at both Stanford and Harvard law schools. Amy Howe will help explain this immunity case and whether it'll impact the other cases against Trump, including the one already underway now in New York. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Amy, thank you for joining us here on the Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me.
So I just want to give everyone, you know, a big picture look at this case, make sure we're all on the same page. So can you start by briefly summarizing what is this case really about?
So this case is about Jack Smith, the special counsel's investigation into former President Donald Trump's role in conspiracies to overturn the efforts to certify the results of the presidential election. And so the question before the Supreme Court is whether and to what extent, as a former president, Trump can face these criminal charges.
Yeah. So to your point, it's not just about the election interference case. This is about presidential immunity overall that could have wide-reaching implications.
Exactly. And that is part of Trump's argument. He says, you know, it's sort of an existential threat to the proper functioning of the presidency, because if a president is worried about the possibility that he could face criminal charges after he leaves the Oval Office, you know, presidents just aren't going to be able to do their job properly. That's one of his arguments against criminal liability.
Can you give an example of another situation that the defense is arguing would be interrupted if presidents were too worried about being criminally prosecuted?
Everything from actions that Bill Clinton and Barack Obama ordered in the Middle East, you know, President Joe Biden's handling of the southern border. You know, they're pointing at all of these different possibilities that they say, you know, presidents could be facing criminal charges for. And they say there's an understanding that presidents are immune even after they leave office. And Jack Smith's counterargument was, well, yes, there is this long history in which presidents have not been charged after they leave office. But that's because former President Trump's conduct is so extraordinary that we've never had a need to charge a former president.
So tell me more about what the special counsel is saying here and why he brought charges despite some of the defense arguments.
He says that Trump created widespread mistrust through pervasive and destabilizing lies about election fraud and then perpetrated criminal conspiracies to target the process of certifying the results of the presidential election. And he says that, yes, you know, while a president is in office, certainly you do have to worry about the proper functioning of the presidency. And the Department of Justice has agreed that no sitting president can be charged criminally. But you know, we also have to think about what Trump has done. Is it an unprecedented assault on the structure of our government, he says. And a bedrock principle of our Constitution is that no person is above the law, including the president.
Because a sitting president could be impeached and removed from office that way.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, you talked about it being a historic case. And I want to acknowledge that there's something else going on right now that's historic. And that is that Trump is the first former U.S. president to face a criminal trial. And one is happening right now in a different case. So, one, I just want to ask, is there any impact of him being in the courtroom for that hush money case that started on April 15th while this immunity case gets underway?
It's an interesting question because obviously in the hush money case, this is all conduct that happened before he was elected president. And that's in fact part of why the charges in that case have been brought. He was making the accusations go, the hush money payment, so that the story about his alleged affair with Stormy Daniels didn't come out and potentially affect the 2016 presidential election. So on the one hand, they're separate, but on the other hand, there is the idea that you do have all of these different cases, and you know, Trump is certainly arguing that all of these cases are politically motivated.
But the decision from the Supreme Court, while it might impact other criminal cases against him, likely would not impact the one underway already because he wasn't actually a sitting president at the time. Is that right?
He was not a president at the time. That's right.
And while we're talking about timelines, I want to back up for a second. A federal appeals court rejected Trump's immunity claim in early February. The Supreme Court then announced weeks later that it will hear the case. And some critics have said that there was an apparent delay. So what do you think? Is a timeline like we saw with this Supreme Court case normal, or was there something odd about it?
I'm not sure that I would say odd. I mean, certainly this case is moving faster than your average Supreme Court case does. Having said that, the Supreme Court didn't fast track it as much as Jack Smith would have liked. The justices normally issue all of their decisions by the end of June or, you know, sometimes the first week of July. So, you know, we would expect to get the decision in this case by then. But the question is, will we get it much before then? And we just don't know the answer to that.
And the timing matters so much because we have a presidential election in November. And already, as you know, critics have pointed out, the Supreme Court taking up this case has delayed one of the criminal trials against Trump, probably past beyond November. And so already the Supreme Court just taking this case up has impacted what Americans will see ahead of the November presidential election.
That's right. I mean, this case was scheduled to go to trial on March 4th. Judge Chutkan in the district court put that on hold. And even if the Supreme Court were to rule that Trump is not entitled to immunity, it would not mean that the trial could happen, you know, a week later. The pretrial proceedings would have to continue. Judge Chutkan would have to find a date for it. And so it's not clear when, even if the Supreme Court were to rule for Jack Smith and against former President Trump, when that trial might actually happen.
You know, you mentioned this is an unprecedented historic case, but can you talk a little bit more about just how big of a deal is whatever the Supreme Court decides moving forward and the precedent that it's setting?
This is not just a question in the abstract of can a former president face criminal charges? And, you know, if say, Donald Trump were not running for the 2024 presidential election, and so that it would determine whether or not those charges could go forward. But because of the impact that the Supreme Court's ruling could have for the 2024 election, it's extraordinary.
So does the Constitution actually address the question of presidential immunity? Will politics factor into the Supreme Court's decision? And what could the outcome look like? Up next, I'm talking with Jeffrey Rosen. He's the president and CEO of the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia, a nonprofit that offers civic education resources for learners of all ages and all perspectives. Jeffrey Rosen also hosts the weekly podcast, We the People, teaches law at the George Washington University Law School, And his new book is The Pursuit of Happiness: How Classical Writers on Virtue Inspired the Lives of the Founders and Defined America. But first, a break for our sponsors. As you might imagine, I research a lot and I ask a lot of questions, whether it's about the day's news or my own health and the health of my family. So when I go to the doctor's office, yes, I'm that patient with a list of questions ready to go. And I expect to have a doctor that listens to me, wants to answer my questions, and works with me to find the best next step. We all deserve a doctor that never makes us feel annoying or embarrassed. Enter ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors from tens of thousands of top-tier choices, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Don't settle. Go for the best and find the right doctor for you. Every time I need to find a new type of doctor, I'll search ZocDoc, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/newsworthy and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. This episode is also brought to you by Honeylove. All of us have those certain items in our closet that you pick over everything else, right? For me, that's definitely Honeylove's Legging 2.0. I literally wear these pretty much every day until I need to wash them. They're cute with a stylish look and shaping. They're comfortable with a super soft cooling material that holds you in without feeling too tight. And they're convenient with pockets that don't add bulk but still make it really easy to carry around my phone when my hands are full. So whether I'm working from home, working out, or running around town with my toddler, Honeylove's Legging 2.0 are my go-to. I'm also a huge fan of their shapewear, and our executive producer agrees there's a reason she's chosen Honeylove shapewear over other brands even on her wedding day. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, and leggings on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Start the new year with confidence thanks to Honeylove. Okay, now to my conversation with Jeffrey Rosen, President and CEO of the National Constitution Center. Jeffrey Rosen, thank you so much for joining us here on The Newsworthy.
Great to be with you.
So before we dive into this particular case, I want to get clear about what the Constitution actually says or doesn't say about presidential immunity.
The Constitution says nothing about presidential immunity. The words don't appear. There's nothing in the text. And there's an argument about whether it's even deeply rooted in American history at all. The idea of immunity comes from English law and the monarchy. And the idea is that the king is above the law and the sovereign can't be prosecuted because he controls prosecution. But in America, we the people are sovereign, not any king or potentate or dictator. And the question here is, under what circumstances is the president liable for criminal activities that he may have undertaken while in office?
Is there any precedent? And is this typically how America has operated?
Well, there are two main precedents. One, called Nixon versus Fitzgerald, says that the president does enjoy absolute civil immunity for official actions taken while he's in office. Another case, Clinton versus Jones, which came up during President Clinton's term, says the president does not enjoy civil immunity while in office for actions taken before he became president. But the court has never before answered if the president enjoys criminal immunity for official actions taken while he's in office.
Yeah, and talk to me a little bit more about that kind of official acts argument.
The idea is that if the president makes a policy judgment, and it's really not clear that that violates the law, afterward, you shouldn't be able to have, 10 citizens saying that he made the wrong decision and haul him into court. So that official acts idea is really important when it comes to civil cases. Criminal cases are harder. And of course, what we're talking about here is the case brought by Jack Smith, which charges President Trump with subverting the election.
There's multiple cases against Trump. And I just want to be clear, the criminal trial Trump is facing right now in a New York courtroom related to a hush money payment made to adult film star Stormy Daniels, that's not impacted by this upcoming Supreme Court case because he wasn't actually president at the time, right?
That's exactly right. And also, the New York case is a state case. It's under state law. The president has no ability to pardon himself for state law offenses, and the federal immunity arguments would not apply.
But generally, some of the other cases against him could be impacted, not just the one related to the 2020 election.
Absolutely. There's the destruction of documents case in Miami. And if the U.S. Supreme Court held that the president is absolutely immune for criminal acts taken while in office, then that one would fall as well.
Trump's legal team had argued that even if a president ordered the assassination of a political rival, they would still be protected from prosecution unless the Senate impeached them first. What did you make of that particular statement? And do you think that'll be used again in front of the Supreme Court?
It absolutely will be. It very starkly and really shockingly shows the breadth of President Trump's argument. It's that the president is literally above the law, and the U.S. Supreme Court is likely to reject that sweeping absolute immunity argument, just because in America, the president is not above the law. We don't have a king. And the whole point of the Constitution is to prevent dictators. On the other hand, it's possible that the Supreme Court, or at least some of the justices, may look for a compromise position, something short of the president's above the law and he can assassinate rivals. But President Trump is also arguing that you should have a kind of qualified immunity argument. That means that the president shouldn't lightly be subject to criminal prosecution. And you should have to establish that the violation of the criminal law is really obvious. It should be a clear case, like a murder or assassination, which everyone acknowledges is completely illegal. But if the Supreme Court buys this compromise position, they might say that something short of murder or assassination, possibly including this charge here involving obstruction of official proceedings where the law isn't clear, in fact, the charge itself might be dropped out, that is not something that a former president should be subject to, because the violation should have to be really clear cut.
Do you think politics in this case influences the Supreme Court justices at all, even if it's simply to try to not appear political? Because I know that's been a concern lately.
It has been a concern. And the court is certainly concerned about its maintaining its nonpartisan legitimacy. Justice Breyer, former Justice Breyer, has a new book out about why he chose pragmatism, not textualism. And he says the justices are deeply concerned about legitimacy and should be. Now, Justice Breyer says that all of his colleagues are not swayed by purely partisan politics. They don't reach a result to help President Trump or to hurt him. But he acknowledges in his book that they are sometimes swayed by their political philosophy. And it might be that justices who are broadly pro-executive power, like Justice Brett Kavanaugh, for example, might not want to have a really sweeping a vision of making the president liable. On the other hand, Justice Kavanaugh, his one of the cases he says is the most influential in all of 20th century history is the U.S. v. Nixon case, which rejected the idea that the president is above the law. So he seems unlikely to take that really sweeping position. All this is to say that the court may well be influenced by their views about executive power, but those won't necessarily track their political preferences.
Overall, what's at stake in this case? What's the potential impact of one decision or the other?
Well, the stakes are huge. I mean, they couldn't be higher. If the court holds that the president is absolutely immune for prosecution from criminal acts committed in office, then all of the federal criminal prosecutions against President Trump would fall. But on the other hand, that's one extreme position that I don't think most people expect. You know, the other position would be to completely affirm the D.C. Circuit and say that the president is totally liable for criminal prosecution for any acts committed while in office. And that might mean that President Trump could continue to have lawsuits against him, even beyond the ones that have already been filed. That's why a compromise position would be a big deal. The nature of the compromise matters. However, we should say this, too. All of this will be dramatically affected if President Trump wins by what the court says about whether or not a president can pardon himself.
And to be clear, that would be a separate case. That's not likely to come up in this case.
Absolutely not. And of course, he hasn't yet been reelected, or he may not be, and he hasn't yet tried to pardon himself. But if he does, some of the same questions we've been discussing, like who has the sovereign power, is the president above the law, and what does history say about self-pardons, will be relevant.
Anything you want to add or just a final takeaway for our audience?
Pay attention to the arguments. They'll all be online. You can listen to them or read them and read the briefs on both sides and make up your own minds.
Thank you so much to both of our guests. Jeffrey Rosen's new book is available now. It's titled The Pursuit of Happiness, How Classical Writers on Virtue Inspired the Lives of the Founders and Defined America. And for more of Amy Howe's reporting on the Supreme Court, visit SCOTUSblog.com or her How on the Court blog. We'll, of course, bring you updates on these legal cases and keep you all caught up on the rest of the news you need to know every day during our regular episodes. Our 10-minute news roundups are available every weekday morning. So we'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.